Hey everyone, how we doing? JC here with another episode of So NWA Podcast. I got my host here, Enrique. How's it going, brother?
Dude, I'm good. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. It's a nice day here in Northwest Arkansas.
A little rainy, but I think it's fine.
Yeah. You know, I think the weather is always something that you can basically talk to anyone about.
Yeah, that's true. You
know, yeah, it's a very, very neutral topic. So, but
I agree.
You know, we're here for doing another episode, and I'm going to give you the honor today to introduce our special guest today.
That's very kind of you. Yeah, so we have a special guest here today. She is a lender with Geneva, and everyone, please give a warm welcome to Yesenia. How are you doing today, Yesenia?
Hey, good. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. This is a pleasure being here with you guys today.
Yeah, well, thank you, first of all, for making time out of your day. I know being a lender, you know, it can be busy, and so making time out of your day in any day of the week, I think, can get a little bit difficult. So we're grateful for your time.
Absolutely. I think time management is crucial, but I am honored to be here. We planned it out and made the time. And so here we are.
Yeah, here we go.
definitely. Yes, definitely. Again, thank you for being here. As all our guests, we always want to honor and thank their time for spending their time with us here. But Yesenia, how was everything? How was your weekend? How did everything go?
I'm great. As I was mentioning earlier, I think because of the weather, I'm very sensitive to like the surroundings. Yeah. I don't know, energy wise. I think my body has been feeling the change.
Okay.
It's raining today and it's a little gloomy, and I think it affects how I feel throughout my day. Like when it's gloomy and it's dark, I kind of feel like I don't feel like being out and about and talking to people. You know, yeah. I'm very extrovert, so I think I enjoy those times when I do feel like I need to stay inside and just shut down a little bit.
Do you feel that way with the seasons? Like, let's say it's spring or fall or summer. Like, depending on when that falls, you feel more happy and like in summer?
Yes. And I really would love not to have that, but that's just who I am.
What they call that? It's called seasonal depression. Is that what
I
don't know if that's
true. No, it's very true, actually. Yes. For example, during winter, around the holidays, I tend to really get a little more emotional than normal. Mm, okay. And it affects me in a higher level than probably an average person that doesn't have that sensitivity.
Yeah, because my fiance says that whenever it's summertime, she feels a little bit more uplifted.
Yes.
So I think it's more common than we think.
Yeah.
Maybe the sun.
Vitamin D.
The sun. Yeah.
Yeah. Little vitamin D.
Yeah, yes. That's true. Man, I don't know if anyone else has heard this, but I have, where they say like places like San Francisco and Seattle, you know, it's like more gloomy, you know, London, places that are more gloomy and not as sunny. I think that's kind of... something that they face a lot.
Yeah, like more prone to rain and stuff like that. Yeah. I think Seattle, if we can look it up here quickly, but I think the majority of the time it's always raining there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always raining.
Yeah.
There's a higher, I think, suicide levels because of the rain.
Oh, wow.
It rains throughout the year around. So, yes, I have heard of that.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy.
You know, for the audience here who may or may not know, and here in this Northwest Arkansas area, and I think pretty much for the state as well, we definitely get all four seasons here. Mm-hmm. We have a beautiful spring, a nice, pretty humid. I mean, not like Dallas or Miami or anything like that, but we have some humidity up in here.
Yes.
We have our winters, nice and cold, freezing winters and occasional snow. And then, I don't know if I said spring, you have a spring month. Oh, fall. I love our falls here. They're
colors.
The colors. Oh, man. Yeah, the falls here are just beautiful. But yeah, so right now we're in that gloomy. Actually, I say this too. We get all four seasons in a week.
Yeah.
Right now it's what January 30th, and it's like 55 degrees outside, or less. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Typically, and then yesterday we were like in the high 60s.
Yes. Can you believe that?
It was beautiful yesterday.
It was amazing, and it's typically supposed to be winter right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Arkansas.
Yeah, it's end of January is supposed to be winter, and we'll see. But yeah, no, yesterday was sunny. It was beautiful. Today's a little bit gloomy, so it is kind of funny. I think that's a very true statement for anyone moving here.
Good old Arkansas.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a meme. I feel like I see that on Facebook and Instagram. It's like living in Arkansas, one day it's 70, the next day it can be like 20. 30.
Yeah. Yep.
You better have something in your car.
Yeah.
A raincoat or something.
Something.
That's so funny.
Yes.
Man.
But
crazy then.
But yeah, Yesenia, thank you for joining us. You know, we we like bringing people on. We want to talk about the area. We want to talk about what you do, which we'll get into a little bit later. But, you know, a good question that we just want to get to know our guests, for our audience to get to know our guests and things like that.
Yeah.
So what, one of the questions that we came up with is, what's one of the best vacations that you've ever taken and why?
Okay. So I want to say the best vacation. I mean, the first thing that popped to my head was New York. I've enjoyed going to New York. I've been there a few times, okay, but each time has been very special for me. Okay. Not necessarily because of the season or anything, but I do enjoy the culture, the food. But that's been more of on a personal level. I think going, when I think vacation, I think beach, sun, you know, my family, my kids. Right.
Maybe somewhere you haven't been before.
Okay, something more out of the norm.
Okay.
So I think Gulf Shores last summer was one of my favorites. I just had surgery, so it was a little different vacation, but I definitely did enjoy all the time I was there. It was more of bed rest for me, but mm-hmm. I got to see my kids and not have to work every day. So seeing them being out in the beach and playing, and they were playing soccer and in the sand, being in the water, just enjoying our dinners and getting up late, having those brunches. It was amazing. Yeah. And the weather was beautiful.
Nice.
So I got to wake up, be in a bathing suit, and read a book all day.
Oh, that's fun. There you go.
Yeah, that was a good vacation.
That sounds like a good. What time did you go?
It was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was in June. It was for around Aiden's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we went to Gulf Shores. We were invited with another family, friends, and it was a good trip. We drove down there.
Nice.
So we rented a big minivan, and it was a fun trip the whole way.
That's cool.
We got to stay in a condo. Yeah. We had really nice little mom and pop restaurants around.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah.
Just to say, I love mom and pop shops. Yeah. I think they're better than your
chain.
Yeah.
Better than your chain restaurant.
And that's just me personally. I've always had a better experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. I think that was a good vacation for me.
Oh, that's cool. Gulf Shores. I have not been there, but it sounds like we I need to go. Yeah.
Well, it was the first place I've seen white sand. Usually, and like in El Salvador or California, you have those black sand.
Gray.
It almost looks like dirt.
Yeah. So, but this was white. The water was just beautiful. That aqua, you could see through the water kind of, and it's right there. We got to see jellyfish like right there. My daughter was stung with the jellyfish.
Oh my gosh. So you mentioned your son, Aiden, and your daughter, Jennifer. How many more kids do you have? Is it just two?
I have one more, Joshua. He's my middle son.
Okay. So there's three children. How old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, not at all. Jenny, she is going to be 20. In March. Joshua is 16 and Aiden is 13.
Okay.
13 going on 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love to see that.
Aiden, if you know, he's so funny. He's a good kid.
For some reason, I thought you were referencing that movie. Were you?
Oh, no, yes. You 13 gotta, going on 30. Yeah, yes.
Meet him.
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess what out of the audience probably doesn't know is JC is my brother. So he has been able to see a lot of the transition between me and my kids. And he's spent a lot of time with my kids too. So, and Aiden, he's very special. I mean, all my kids are special, but he's like a little mini adult. Like the conversations you have with him, you wouldn't think a 10 or 12 year old.
He does.
He's very outspoken. Yeah. He's very different.
Yeah. For sure. You know, and if you didn't catch that, yes, Yesenia is actually my sister. And, you know, a Theo to these kids, and they're good kids. They really are. And I need to spend more time with them. And Aiden just cracks me up. They're all unique in their own way.
Yes.
Jennifer, Josh, and Aiden. But it cracks me up every time I see Aiden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entonces, ¿sí es un buen tío?
Yes, he is.
Good uncle?
He's a very good uncle.
I try.
My kids, they have lots of love for JC Maritza. They see them as the role models that they want when they get older. So that to me is very, very significant. Because
we gotta get this guy tissue.
Jenny loves her Thea and Joshua too and Aiden. But I think Josh is a little more introvert. He's very shy. He doesn't really speak up. He's like the middle kid, you know.
Okay.
That's very typical for the middle one. But he has a lot of love and respect for Thea.
Oh yeah. I always think of Yesenia's kids, obviously my nieces and nephews. I always want to make them feel comfortable for they can approach me or my wife, right? Me, their Thea. and just to approach and just have that support as someone at that age, and even actually even when they get older too, right? There'll always be that type of they'll always look at them younger. Obviously they are, but even when they're young adults or when they get married, and I'll be older, I'll be like 50 or whatever I'll be. I'll be like, man, these are my nephews and nieces. What's up? But I always want to be that, you know, type
of cool uncle.
But also to be reliable, help them in anything I can, things like that. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's good kids. Yeah. But Enrique, what about you, man? Tell me about one of your best vacations you've taken and why.
Well, I don't travel much, but I will say last summer, I say summer, it was September, call it fall, but it was still pretty hot around then.
It was.
My fiance Emily and I and her parents and her two younger brothers, we all went to Destin, Florida.
Oh, cool.
And we were there for about a week. And just going back to what Yesenia said, man, like you just wake up and you're just like, all right, what are we doing today? Let's go to the beach. Let's eat all this food and just hanging out. And I did get sick on that trip. I don't know if it was food poisoning or what, but I had like a fever and it was bad, right? Oh. But I tried my best to ignore it and I still had a good time. You know, I created those memories with my family. And that was good. Like the sand was white. Like you said, the water was clear. Nice. Oh my gosh. Amazing experience.
That's so awesome. Sweet.
That's awesome. Yeah. What's a good place you recommend? I'm that's my next trip.
That's your next place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Allegiant, shout out to Allegiant.
Yeah.
Did you drive?
We drove actually.
Oh, okay. So,
we actually ended up driving. It was a 12-hour drive. Obviously, more when you stop to go to the restroom, eat and stuff. And I remember when we were first leaving, we left at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had to drive first. So I drove for like 8 or 9 hours, but the first 2-3 hours were so rough.
I'm sure.
Like, I had to literally pinch my thighs and like pinch my knuckles or whatever to stay awake.
Yeah.
So that experience I look back on it very fondly. But I recommend over there, not a lot of cultural food, I'll be honest. It's more like a tourist place.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to this restaurant. I have a picture of it, but it's kind of like we had a seafood boil there.
Okay.
And it's right on the shore. You're sitting on a dock and you can see the beach and the sand. And it was good. Mm.
Nice. So okay.
Good. Let me look up the name. And then once I have it here.
Send that info over.
That's cool. Yeah,
I thought that was good.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, Hong Kong? Have you seen any white beaches and clear aqua water?
Yeah, I have. I was actually going to say two places, but my wife and I, we had gone to Tampa, Florida for the first time maybe about 2 years ago now, and that was really unexpected because we had a great time. So that's where I saw white sand for the first time. We went over to, is it Clearwater? I think it was Clearwater, which is right on the coast of west side of Florida. But yeah, the beaches were beautiful. They have fresh seafood. I love a good calamari. I love a good fried shrimp, things like that, fried fish. I don't eat it a lot, but I definitely like a good one. But then I was also going to say Mexico City.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Mexico City so much. When we had went for the first time, Maritz and I, you watch some YouTube videos and things like that, but when you get there, it's a completely different experience. It's exactly what you thought it would be. Everyone's super friendly, loving. Food is amazing. There's so many attractions you can do. And of course, being the first time there, you're thinking of your safety, thinking what's going on or things like that. And then like in our first episode that we said, man, I'm a No Sabo kid. So, you know, I'm telling you, man.
Oh, you gotta stop thinking that way, man. That's a limiting belief.
Yeah, man, I gotta practice more is what I need to do. But
well, once you practice more, you'll feel better about your Spanish.
Yeah,
I promise.
Yeah. I go to El Salvador for like 2 weeks and it's like improved significantly. It's because you don't hear it. But yeah, so we went over there and I felt really safe, at least in the areas that we were in, but obviously the tourist areas, the main areas and things like that. But the food, the attractions, taking the bus, taking, like a Uber or Lyft or whatever, all of it was just great. And of course, your money goes a long way in Mexico City. So
for sure.
Great restaurants. I mean, there's so many stores we had over there, but it's very, very beautiful.
What would you say the conversion rate is just to, for example, for our audience, let's say you take like a dollar, what would be a dollar be?
It's anywhere between, I'm going to go to 14 to 18 pesos maybe on a good day.
Okay.
Obviously, it'd be like 20 pesos for a dollar. I guess you can say on a bad day, it might be 14 or 15, something like that.
So if you call it maybe $500 or something,
oof.
The significance in money over there, I think, would be very improved. No, like you'd be able to enjoy a lot of the food, maybe buy things and whatnot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like an example, you would go get a taco down the street and it'd be, oh my, it might be 40. What would it be? Oh my gosh. Maybe like 10. I you know what?
Very affordable.
Super affordable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pennies on the dollar.
Like $2.
Let's say like $2, but not even that. I think it was like 50 cents.
So oh, wow.
It'd probably be like 10 cents, a 10 pesos a taco.
Oh, man.
So you, or I remember pulling out quarter or change, and I'd be like, here you go. And they'd be like, yeah, 50 pesos or something.
Maybe. Well, there you go.
Man, it's 50 pesos would be like $2. So yeah, maybe actually, yeah.
Yeah, about $2. So when you say Mexico City, is that El Distrito Federal?
Yes, correct. Oh, cool. Correct. Yep. We went down there. It's huge. It's a big city. Like it's, I feel like I heard somewhere where they say it's almost like four times the size of LA or something like that. Like two or three times the size of LA. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Huge. And there's different districts. We did some of the main attractions and it was good. It was really, really nice. I didn't feel out of place. There was a lot of tourists there. You know, European tourists, Asian tourists, you know, American tourists, things like that. So I just didn't feel out of place. You know, and I can give some specifics and things like that. But yeah, that was probably one of my favorite trips, you know, that we had done in the last few years. So
that's good.
Neat. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I have to go to Mexico sometime. We were supposed to go in December, but we decided to wait a little bit.
I remember I sent you some stuff on
Instagram. You did. Right? I do remember that. Yeah. We're going to go this year for sure.
Cool.
We have to make it happen.
Yes. It's close too, right? It's only like a 2 or 3 hour flight.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
It's not, so. No. We did just go to Europe recently. Ooh. Which was also another favorite.
No, this guy.
That was a 10-year wedding anniversary gift, but it was also had been waiting that long, and we planned it and it just worked out in that way.
That's beautiful.
But thank you. Yeah, no. But I would say Mexico City was definitely. We've gone there a few times since, and that was probably like, again, it's close and it goes a long way. Yeah,
that's good.
So
very nice.
Man. But, like I said, we want to always have those type of conversations with our guests and just get to know them. And that way you guys can also get to know them. But now, you know, we transition over to who Yesenia is, right? Who she is, you know, what she does in this area. What does she know about this area? She grew up here and things like that. And it's time for her to tell her story. So Yesenia, where are you originally from? If you're not from here, how did you find Northwest Arkansas?
Well, I'm originally from El Salvador. I was born in El Salvador. I was there until I was about 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And my mom brought me over to California. That's where she's from El Salvador. I was, I believe, 8 when I came to LA, met JC.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Met JC, our dad. He's an amazing dad. Shout out to dad. I remember when dad picked me up from the airport, he had a big old Donald Duck for me. Yeah. Oh. It was as big as me.
I think I forgot about that.
That Donald Duck. Oh. I always remember that Donald Duck. And yeah, he got me from the airport and I remember coming home. JC was like 2 or 3 years old and it was very hard for me. I want to say the transition, leaving my grandparents, coming home, seeing and meeting mom for the first time because I hadn't seen her since I was, you know, 5 months. So it was a little hard for me. I did have like
homesickness. Yes.
Homesickness. Yeah. I was so little, you know, when you're little, you see like where you live, it's like so big to you.
Right.
And then you grow up and you're like, oh, it's not that big. So we lived in Glendale at the time. And I remember that I would like go into like the parks and I would be looking for El Salvador.
Oh, like similarities, if you will?
Well, I was in my mind, you know, trying to get away and run away.
You know what's funny?
Back to El Salvador.
I have some cousin's husband. He's from El Salvador also. And I remember he said that either it was a dream or he experienced it as a kid. But I think he remembers wanting to kind of backwards, right? He wanted to come here to the U.S. And so in El Salvador, there was mountains. So he thought if he just went over the mountains, he'd end up in the United States.
I could totally understand that.
So it's kind of backwards, but I just remember him telling me something like
that. Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. Your imagination when you're little, it's just, you know, endless.
Mm-hmm. Like you think it's so different. It's
not that easy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember that. But then mom brought us here to Northwest Arkansas like in 96. Mm-hmm. We got to Rogers, Arkansas. And we bought a beautiful house. I still remember on Dyke Street. That's always been our childhood home for me. I grew up in Northwest Arkansas. I went to Eastside Elementary, Kirksey Middle School, and I went to Sophomore Center.
Next to the Tyson.
Yes, that was a Sophomore Center. Now it's Heritage High School. Went a year to Rogers High School, Mounties. And then I moved back with Todd. Back to California for a bit. And I went to Ontario High for a few. We spent a lot of time with both our parents. So I did have a little bit of going back and forth from schools. So I guess that's how I am, the way I am. I'm very social and I'm not afraid of starting a conversation and just being the life of the party, just creating friends.
Yeah,
definitely not afraid of that at all.
Yeah,
that's good. So it sounds like you had, like you said, you went a lot of back and forth, but ultimately you ended up staying here in the area.
Yes.
What brought you back here and what made you want to make this area?
So I came back here, obviously because mom was here, and then I just felt like this was a good place. It was the most similar place that I love nature, the green, going camping, going to the river, like outdoors. I'm not that much of a city person, so I prefer the smaller town versus going to like LA or Vegas, because at one point I moved to Vegas. I don't know why, I just decided that was going to be the spot. For anyone that decides to relocate, please do your research.
That's good.
I had no idea the cost of living in Las Vegas. I didn't really study before. I had a gut feeling. I took my gut feeling. I just needed to kind of move away because this town is very small, as you know. So you run into somebody at Walmart, church, or whatever, and then it's like you can never really get away from the same little
circle.
Yeah, that's true. Though.
So, true, yeah. At 2017, I said I need to grow. I want to kind of stir away and be independent. So Las Vegas, I didn't know nobody there. All I knew is that I had skills and I could provide for myself. I was a farmer's agent at the time, insurance. So I knew I had that going for myself. And I had just sold my house in downtown Bentonville, which I should have kept.
Oh, man. I know you're seeing the marker right now. And you're like, why did I ever sell
it? Man, do I regret doing that? But you know what? It's a learning experience.
There you go.
So I went to Las Vegas, definitely saw the world completely different. It challenged me to go back to school. So I did a year and a half of like an NTI school, got different certifications and started looking at different ways of making income. That was good for me. It was good for my kids. They got to see another world too. That opened their eyes and they became a little more social. And Joshua discovered his sports and how great of an athlete he is. To this day, he's a great athlete. So that has moved our family a lot, you know, having to show our skills and showing ourselves that we're capable of doing more than average, I want to say. I didn't like the school system in Las Vegas, so I put them in a private school, and it was more challenging for them. Like for my daughter, Jennifer, she was able to experience, and I believe in education. I love education. So whenever we moved out there, she was in orchestra, and she had done 3 years of orchestra. And so we went to a specific school for her for her music. And then a year later, she decides, oh, I don't want to do music anymore. I want to go into the Navy, into the military. I was like, oh my God, no, you don't. Like what? Going from music to Navy, that was a lot for me. Then I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's move you to school so you can graduate with that. And they help. They give, there's so many opportunities out there. That's for sure. So we actually moved from like the east side all the way to the west side so she could go to that certain school.
Okay.
And expanded a lot for her. And it's done a lot for her. She was able to learn. And then she said, nope. I definitely don't want to be in the military. I don't want to be a judge or police officer anymore. I'm changing my my career path.
Right.
And then she went into medical. And that's really what she fell in love with after all. And right now, this is her second year in Texas. She was at Texas State last year. Now she's at University of Houston now. And she's studying to be a doctor. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. She's taking it very serious. That's loves her school. And just, she just get crazy about like, these are my classes. This is what I'm studying. I'm like, cool.
There you go.
I respect what they do. It's like we're completely opposite, but I definitely encourage them and whatever dreams they want to accomplish, I'm all for it. So I'm very supportive into what they're doing.
We love that. We love the backstory. We love the transitions that you've had, different areas, so you get to see. And I think this is a really good perspective to see what it was back in 2015, 16, 17.
Oh, yeah.
As you were saying, and then you moved to Vegas, and then I moved back, I think, a few years after. But you get to just see the different cultures, different environment, things like that. And man, it just really puts perspective of going back to this area of how there's a lot of amenities, there's a lot of resources. They're just different here. And it gives us an opportunity as the community or residents of this area to thrive.
Yes.
You have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things. Yeah. And that is such a highlight of this podcast, of the people here in this area who can enjoy that, can have access to those things.
So now that you mentioned that, when I was discovering all these different schools or whatever fit their need, I was also doing the same, going to work. I went from an agent, become an agent. And then I decided, I went to apply for a mortgage and they told me, you don't qualify. And I was blown away because, I'd owned two properties in Northwest Arkansas and I was never told, no, you don't qualify. So that was new for me. I didn't understand why I didn't qualify.
Yeah.
I wasn't educated in the lending area. So it was a challenge for me to know why I didn't qualify and what I needed to do to qualify to actually be able to own. And so it made sense, but it did force me to go to Key Realty. That's where I got my lending license and schooling. When I knew I had that new skill or tool in my toolbox, I knew that Las Vegas was not going to be the place for me to thrive. And I said, I'm going back to Arkansas because it's not that I don't have competition. I mean, I believe that we're our own competition, but in Las Vegas, it's just a much bigger city where it was going to be much harder for me to succeed versus coming back home, knowing all the business owners in the area, just knowing a lot of the people that I grew up around here. I felt like I was going to be an advantage. So I decided back in 2020 to come back here. And, once my daughter decided she was going to college, I said, okay, it's time for me to, get into this new career. And I moved here as a loan officer assistant for another mortgage lending company. And I got to learn more tools because there's so many different options that we're really not educated enough. And we think that's it's only the bank down the street. And there's really more options than that.
Yeah. So you got your lending license and you started your career with a different institution, which right now you're with Geneva Financial.
Correct.
So I wanted to ask, how long have you been with Geneva Financial and what do you enjoy the most with the institution you are with now?
So with Geneva, I would be 4 years this year. In general, what I enjoy with my career, I want to say, I don't want to call it a job because it's not. I feel like it's a pleasure doing what I do every day, is to be able to give, the family that comes to me and says, hey, I want to apply for a house. I want to buy a house. I've made it a mission for me to never tell somebody, no, you don't qualify or no, you can't. I feel like that word is so limiting and so harsh on someone's dream to say, no, you can't, that I believe I can say, yes, yes, you can. However, we need to do X, Y, and Z to get to your outcome. So that's what I enjoy every day is meeting with families, meeting with anyone. And I have the opportunity to say, yes, yes, we can. And this is what we need to do to make it happen. And I want to say, luckily, 4 years in the career, five in total with being an assistant. I've never had no one that's come to me deny them. I've not had one yet. So I feel very, very proud of that.
Wow. That was really good. What makes Geneva different from other lenders, in your opinion?
So Geneva Financial is originally out of Arizona, and it was formed in 2007, right before the crash in 2008. And I think what makes Geneva different versus other mortgage lenders, because there's a difference between being a mortgager lender versus a bank. That's correct. So we don't use the funds like a bank would traditionally. We use all the resources from all our 43 states where we're licensed. I'm licensed in Texas and in Arkansas. So I have the ability to help families in the state of Texas and state of Arkansas. So that gives us so much more opportunity to help. And we use, we're guided by the government. We don't have rules that other banks do. Like, for example, let me try to make it a little bit more visual. Let's say when you graduate, right, you have your scores A, B, C, D, F, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, some banks will only accept an A and B candidate. If you have C's, D's, or F's, we can't give you a mortgage. Like, we cannot qualify you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With Geneva Financial, I feel like we have the ability, even if you have an F, we can bring you up to a D and we can still get you your home. A family my first year that was just barely qualified, like just by like a hair, a 580 credit score, which is barely qualifying, right? But we do have guidelines that we use that are only the government's guidelines. Mm-hmm. We don't have other rules on top of rules. So if they meet those rules, we can make it happen.
Less red tape. Yeah, less red tape.
Yes. Oh, or yeah. Even I want to say, for example, let's say someone doesn't have a score at all, mm-hmm. but they have their partner or their parent or anyone that's in their family that are willing to do the application, be a co-signer or non-co-applicant borrower. Mm-hmm. They have an excellent credit score. And then I've done that as well, that where I can, yes, you don't have a score, but you do have an income, or you don't have an income or a score, but you do have someone else, your partner, your family member, then we can also get you approved that way. And then there's other banks that don't have those options or flexibilities with loans. So you're kind of stuck at, you either have to be an AB candidate or a straight A candidate, where we can also use different strategies to get you qualified.
Right. So when it comes to, for our listeners here who are maybe interested in applying for a mortgage, or maybe they're thinking about buying a house, in your opinion, what do you think would be maybe some tips or tricks that would be helpful to a candidate when it comes to applying for a mortgage or a home loan?
The first thing I would definitely recommend is we need to have stable work history. We need to have a minimum of 2 years of work history.
Okay.
And let's say you're just fresh out of high school and you just started a full-time job, let's just say at Walmart, or you work at a doctor's office, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. That's okay. As long as you have full-time employment and we can show for it for at least a month that we can get a letter from your employer saying that this is a long-term career for you. We can still use your schooling as part of the history.
Oh, wow.
Now, if there is a more than a 6 month gap, then we definitely need to make sure we fill that gap with, two years of work history. Yeah, absolutely. Or back to school, something of that sort.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's very important. I feel like most people are under the impression that if you don't have 2 years within the same company, that's not true. So you could be in several different places, which is not fun to get all those verifications, but yeah, it's definitely doable. As long as we have 2 years of work history, a qualified credit score, a minimum of 580, that's number one step. I want to say utilizing your credit is very important, knowing how to use your credit, not maxing out your credit cards, only utilizing 20 to 30%, especially when you're getting ready to apply for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. That's being looked at harshly. Mm. So very important.
Okay, so for somebody with a 580 credit score,
yes,
what I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming the guidelines maybe are a little bit more strict. Maybe they need to do a little bit more when it comes to applying, or is that not the case?
No, it's like not that? Actually. It's mostly an FHA. Well, as far as the only ones I've done have been with FHA, which is really they make it so it's easier for the applicant to qualify. So they have a lot of wiggle room. If you have more debt than the average, then they have that room. We can still get you qualified, even if your ratios are a little bit higher, your debt's a little bit higher than average, your score's a little bit lower than average. That's the program that it's meant for you to be able to qualify, to instead of continue to rent, now you can own.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So it's not meant to be harder. It's actually meant to be more flexible.
Yeah, so it's there for people who maybe are in a little bit of a quote-unquote tougher situation to where they can get into that qualifying
position. Yes, yes. Most banks won't do that or don't. It's just they prefer not to because it's a high risk. It's a high risk for the banks to have those candidates defaulting on a mortgage. It's easy nowadays with inflation and everything going up in cost. The first thing you're going to not pay is the highest bill you have, which is probably your mortgage.
Very true. Yeah, yeah. Things haven't been easy these last few years. What does a day look like for you as a lender, you know, for our audience and just for us too? Like what, if someone was interested and they're listening to this podcast and they're saying, I feel the same way Yesenia feels about the outlook of, you know, helping people and working with numbers and doing all these things.
So I love my days. Geneva Financial is home-based. So we don't have necessarily an office where we're, you know, we have to be there at a certain time and get out at a certain time. Mm-hmm. That also being said, that means I work normally then after 5 o'clock. So I'm usually still working with folks after five. I want to say maybe 7 o'clock is my cutoff time where if it's not urgent, I'm not going to respond and I'm not going to reply because that's more of my family time. But a day for me, I have the pleasure of dropping off kids and doing my morning routine. It took me a while to kind of accept that I need that time for me to continue to develop myself. Mm-hmm. So going to the gym, doing a meditation class or just having that 1 hour for me, my power hour, I want to call it, where I just focus on me and what's going to help me get through my day. Because as a lender, I feel like, and especially myself, I do those harder challenges with applications or with different scenarios that I work with. I have to think outside the box a lot. I have to really know what I'm doing throughout my day. But typically a day for me, my mornings are very quiet, mostly emails, answering realtor calls or client calls. Mm-hmm. After 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I'm usually out. I do a lot of networking. I enjoy networking. I feel like that keeps me alive and I feel like it makes me feel like I'm doing something. Right. So being out in events, meeting other realtors or just being involved in it and learning something new, being at a summit or a class where I'm learning. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good. So going back to networking. So for me personally, networking can be a little bit tough. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I'm shy by any means, but I can be a little bit awkward, I guess.
It's hard, I don't know.
It seems like networking to you comes easy.
Yes.
So maybe to our listeners and even for me, what advice would you have for somebody who maybe wants to network more? How can they be a little bit more comfortable in a networking environment? What do you do that is beneficial when it comes to being in that type of event or environment?
Shouts for everyone.
Yes. Well, I think it's just do it. Like Nike, just do it. Like, honestly, when I did come back to Northwest Arkansas, I was thinking that I was going to have all this support and like, oh my God, all my friends, because a lot of my friends are actually in the real estate industry. Most of them that I knew back in the day are mortgage lenders. Mm-hmm. So super excited. But then knowing that everyone has kind of moved on, everyone's doing their own thing. Uh-huh. I had to really hold on to my dear life and believe in myself and my company. And I think I've done a really great job of just showing up and just presenting the product as what it is. And I believe now Geneva, last year, 2023, we were number one mortgage lenders in the area. Oh, so wow. Yay.
Congratulations. That's
yes, awesome. Yeah. We are hoping that this, that was 2023, 2024.
Oh, yeah.
So right, 2023, right. We were the best of Northwest Arkansas, number one mortgage lender in the area. And we're hoping to do the same for 2024. We should be getting news here soon of what place we're in. So hopefully we get that place. We're going to have invites for you guys to join us. The best of Northwest Arkansas.
And that's
just
always fun.
Show up, be there, be present. I think that just being you identifies, you know, I don't want to fit in with everybody. And it's funny because at first it was a little nerve wracking for me when I went to events because there's a lot of newer agents now. A lot of younger agents. Yeah. So I'm a little old school. I don't do a lot of technology, you know. So when they're like, scan my code, my business card, you know, how cool is that? I was like, here's my card. Different, but knowing that I have the products that maybe your client needs. Okay. And maybe you don't have the ideal client that needs a little help or push. I'm here for you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I think that's great information, even for myself, you know, for the audience, just to really put that out there to say, you know, there are different institutions that offer different products and products referring to different type of loans and all these things.
Yes.
Things that government assistance can help with. But, you know, with that being said, do you want to give a shout out to anybody back home, anybody, your team? Who do we got?
Well, absolutely. I want to just shout out to everybody in the industry. I think everyone, this is going to be a year where we get to show our skills and why we're doing what we're doing, be passionate about what we do. Like my title companies, I love my title companies. I think it's important to have a really good relationship, not just with one. I think it's important to have different options because I try to give my clients, like when they come to me, sometimes they think I'm a realtor and I'm like, oh, no, I'm a lender. Yeah. There's a difference and we have to educate.
Right.
And when I have that new buyer that doesn't have an agent, I have to kind of identify my client and know this title company is going to be the perfect fit for my client to take care of their needs because they have X and Y, Z situation that needs to be cleared. Right. Or this personality will match with this realtor that I know that they're going to take care of their needs because this client needs more time and is, you know, Spanish speaking or whatever the case may be. Right. They don't know the area. This is an expert in this area. They want to buy in this specific area. So shout out to all my title companies. I don't want to name any names because I don't want nobody to get hurt.
Okay.
It is. Hey, that's cool. It can be.
Private. I understand.
I think everyone is very important and crucial to get to the closing table.
Absolutely.
My lingo is I'll see you at the closing table. Because that's what we all want to be.
I've been in the real estate industry for a little bit. Less than a year. And I always had this misconception prior to joining the industry. It's like, oh, you know, they'd, you know, who knows what's going on in the background and all these things. And now that I'm in it, I'm always like, man, everyone's working really hard to get to the closing table. So so obviously for the client to get their property, get their home, because that's really, really important. I mean, it's also our job, you have all this work. We don't get, yes, it's true. We don't get paid until the closing table. We're doing everything we can to get the best deal for you guys, or at least that's what our duty is, right? Mm-hmm. Fiduciary duty. There's so many variables involved from the title company to the institution, to the client, to the seller. And then you have even more variables to what Yesenia was saying about your credit score, how much money you have, your work history, you know, what type of loan you're gonna qualify for, what kind of property you're trying to buy, you know, things like that. So you can only imagine now, there's probably a dozen different variables to buy that one property, that one house. It's not just a cookie cutter transaction. It helps to have maybe a little bit more money or you know, for down payment or better credit score or less debt and all these things. But even then, there's still a bunch of variables that we as real estate agents and all these people have to go through to get to the closing table. So we definitely try to put our best foot forward to take care of our clients. I think all of us here in this room definitely do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, so. I agree. I remember I was in a seminar and it was, I think it was Arvis that brought on the speaker, but I remember they shared a fact and this impacted me very powerfully. Now that we're talking about it, you know, about so many moving parts, but I think they said that one transaction is able to feed about 12 families, right? How many people are on average in a family, right? Two kids, three kids, the wife, the husband.
Right.
So you multiply that, that's several people in one transaction.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
You're putting dinner on the table for these many folks when you're helping our clients buy a property, when we're putting our best foot forward. And I think like now that we are in the industry, we get to see that firsthand. And for me, that makes me feel good about what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
We're providing a huge service. We're giving these people value and we're returning to the community. And so when I heard that, it shifted my view even more.
Yes.
And so for our listeners, when you think about real estate and you think it's a big impact.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So going away from lending and real estate, on this podcast, we like to ask our guests about Northwest Arkansas because we love to highlight where we're from. We love to talk about everything that we do here. So Yesenia, whenever you have friends or family that haven't been here, or maybe you meet a stranger somewhere else, what do you tell them about this area when they first come here? What can they expect out of Northwest Arkansas?
Well, when I talk about Northwest Arkansas and I invite my friends from the city, mm-hmm. I'm like, let's go camping. Let's go on a canoe trip. Let's go on a float trip. Dude, that's the best. Wow. You won't have that experience in, you know, Vegas so or California or New York. So I think that's a highlight for me. I'm outdoors, so I enjoy camping, being out in nature. I'm a family. I want to call myself like more family environment.
Like family oriented.
Yeah, family oriented with my kids. Usually my kids are with me most of the time anywhere I go. Only rare when I take a trip and I'm like, nope, this is my trip. You guys stay back. Yeah. So when I invite people here to Northwest Arkansas, what I think is just being in nature and letting them see the beauty of, we have this amazing fresh air and the water here is amazing. Wow. It was a day, like when I went to Vegas and I tried Vegas water, it was disgusting. I was like, I'll drink water from our faucet any day.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yes. That's something I would not have even thought about, though, the quality of water, like the difference, I should say.
I appreciate this area so much.
Dude, I'm for real. It is definitely a thing. It comes down to, you can say how the state is ran, how the state operates. It's their own, you know, I don't want to say it's like its own business, but they can put resources into cleaner facilities. And, you know, if we're talking about the water purifying, better operations, better filters. I don't know what really goes into it, but that's their choice, right? Like as a state, and you go to another state and they may not have funds for that.
It's not a priority.
You know? It might not, you know, they have it just enough where I kind of think of it like this. Well, you won't die from the water, but I mean, it's probably just not as good.
Right.
That's the truth.
That's funny.
Hey, I guess here, I've heard that before. Our tap water is, I hear it's great. It's good. Yeah, like that.
Okay. Great.
I mean, yeah.
Some ice on it.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, that's how you build unity.
No, that's true. Dude, I remember growing up as a kid, I'd be running around. It's getting so hot. And I remember I'd go up to the faucet on the side of the house. I'd just open it and I'd just drink right out of the faucet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Stick it outside of the house.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is funny. But Yesenia, you know, you talked about earlier, you talked about networking, you know, and with people. And then when I think of networking, then I think of location. Like, oh, are we going to a brewery, we're going to a coffee shop, we're going to a restaurant or something like that. What is one of your favorite restaurants or locations or breweries or coffee shops or where you meet your clients, where you meet other, you know, realtors, where you meet the lenders and things like that? Where's one of your favorite places around here for our audience to know?
I used to go to the Onyx Coffee a lot. Yeah, Rogers, downtown.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I love it there.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's just a little bit loud. So I'm not the ideal place for me to have a conversation with a realtor or with anyone that I'm just trying to connect with. Uh-huh. So maybe a restaurant, a quieter place. We have a place to eat. I want to say Local Lime, hands down.
That place is good.
I think
that's where we took your lunch.
I remember the first time we met, it was me, you, and Erica.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, we sat down, and that was when I was barely joining the DS team, and they were asking me about my experience, and I was like, well, I don't have much.
And, hey, you know,
I felt very welcome even sitting there with no experience. They were like, hey, don't even worry about that. Like, they gave me advice, you know.
I like that.
So they were inviting people. I always enjoyed that experience.
That's good.
Yeah,
good.
That is good. Yeah, Local Lime. And GK, how about you? What's another location that you give a shout out to?
Okay, let me think. I've named two already. I'm trying to think of a third place that I frequent a lot. Man, this is gonna sound really dumb.
Oh my gosh.
I go to Taco Bell.
Late night snack. That's okay.
I'm sorry. Like,
Taco Bell slaps, bro.
I know it's fast food, but it just hits. I don't know. Something about Taco Bell just is so good. Like, I don't know if it's like they're like $5 or $7 box. You got a Baja Blast with that, bro? Dude, something about it is good.
That's so funny, dude.
Yeah. So I always go to the one.
Which
on 71B in Lowell, 71 Business, and that was Lowell.
Oh my gosh!
Right across from
it's
Arbus,
next.
I think
it's next door to the Arbus and the Dairy Queen there.
Okay, yeah.
I know it's not like a local place, but I just thought of Taco Bell because I go there
Taco
all the
Bell, man. Get a Taco Bell, bro.
The Marshall with the Chihuahua, dude. That was funny.
That's so funny. That's a good spot. Hey, no hate. I like Taco Bell. Let me say something. Went back in high school.
Yes,
they used to be like what 60, 70 cents the crunchy taco. I remember putting down a grande meal, 12 tacos by myself.
Yeah.
12 tacos, just throw them back.
Taco Bell was the spot back then. Yeah. For real.
I remember I had an experience. I've been going to Taco Bell for so long. I remember back in high school. Well, I was in middle school. My sister was in high school. She, back then the Pinnacle Mall was like the place to hang out when we were kids.
Yeah.
And I remember we walked to the Taco Bell with this group of friends of hers. And we were sitting there eating our tacos. And I look out the window and I see this ginormous car going down the street. But the thing about it was it had a ginormous block of cheese on it. So we called it the cheese car. And it just took me back. And we were just sitting there laughing because there's a giant block of cheese just going down the road. So shout out to Taco Bell for that memory I have with my sister, I guess.
There it is, bro. That's what it's supposed to be, man. But what do you enjoy the most about this area, Yesenia? You talked about nature. It could be, you know, I said it could be the nature part, but what do you feel like, you know, for our listeners here, what is something that you, you know, don't take for granted here in this area? From the area. Yeah.
From the area. I can say several things. Education. I'm a big believer in education. I went to NWAC for a few years. Not just that, we have our NTI. There's now different smaller colleges that are offering like these programs where you can just certify and get straight to work. I feel like this place has a lot of area for you to grow. I think that is something I won't regret, having my kids here, getting their education, the culture. We have so many diversity from people coming from bigger cities. Mm-hmm. I see that a lot.
Especially now.
Yeah. And being in this field, I get to see folks coming from Florida, Tennessee, Houston area, from different places, New York, California.
Yeah.
And they're bringing their culture here.
Right.
I see a lot of new restaurants now. We have a Colombian restaurant. Now we have a Honduran restaurant. We have a little bit more of diversity in food now. Before it was just, you know, tacos and pupusas. Now it's like, oh, comida colombiana or comida de la baleada. Yeah. So
shout out baleada. I'm Honduran for my listeners. I love some baleadas.
Is that the one you were talking about earlier? I mean, in the first episode?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. Those are so good. I grew up eating them, man, so obviously I'm biased, right?
But you're right, good. Right. No, but they're good. I've had them. So, I can't wait until we have a Peruvian restaurant right here, man. That's what we're missing.
Yeah.
Peruvian restaurant.
For any future investors listening to this, man, if you put a Peruvian restaurant, a good one,
a
reasonably priced, please. I already know how the Peruvians are. I'm one of them. So, I can say that. Man, they'll charge.
That's crazy. $45 for a chicken.
Bro, $45 for a pollo. That's la brasa. Insane. Not even get out of here.
Yes.
Keep it real. Yeah. Just, man.
Well, I'm glad to know that there's many things that you enjoy about our area. And for our listeners, too, I'm sure it's refreshing to always hear new perspectives from the guests that you bring
on. That's right.
So to kind of wrap up the episode here, Yesenia, We started this new quote-unquote tradition on the episode, and the idea behind it is that we want to be able to tie in every episode and every guest. That way, when you listen in next time, or they listen into your episode, they'll be like, oh, this is what they said to my question.
Right.
Awesome. So the question from the previous guest that we had, the mayor of Pea Ridge, Nathan Sees.
Yes.
His question to you, and again, he didn't know who it was going to be, right? He just asked his question. Sure. His question was, what is your why?
I love it.
Why do you do what you do?
Oh, man, that's amazing. On the spot. Can I use that question again?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, that is an amazing question.
Take your time to answer the question. And then once you're done,
I got you.
Think
I
of
got
a question you. To ask for our next guest.
And so,
any question.
What is my why? It was so funny because yesterday I was at the radio station, the Maxima.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yes.
And they asked me that question as well.
Oh.
And so I feel like it's just confirmation of what I believe. And I answered that in Spanish, of course, but my why is my purpose of being here is to serve. Number one, I believe my biggest purpose is to serve my kids. If I leave this world, I want to know that I left being a good mom, being a good provider, a caregiver, and just serving my kids and making sure that they achieve their dreams and their goals.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of being a mom, is serving my community, serving my friend, my clients, which they end up being my friends. it's very hard not to be once you get so involved and connected through the transaction.
It
can be like 30 days, it could be 60 days. So you get very involved in their personal life.
Right.
So just serving and being helping your neighbor, helping your friend, helping the next person.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
I like that answer. And that ties in well with what this podcast is about, right? So the acronym is so individual, but it stands for serving others.
100%
Northwest Arkansas.
So, yeah, 100%. I always thought this is, going back to that, is we're here to serve Enrique and I. We're here to serve who is here and just give them that appreciation, give them that shout out and share their story, because there are these stories, unlimited stories in this area from, you know, countless people who that's what their why is. But their story behind it is also as important, you know. So that's amazing. Yeah. So I love it. I love it. But now what is your question to the next guest?
Wow, that's hard.
It can, and again, it can be any question. It doesn't have to be industry related. It just, you know, it can be anything.
Yeah, anything that comes to mind.
Well, I mean, I just, first of all, I want to say thanks again for allowing me to have the spotlight and just sharing my story. And I know that hopefully whoever, you know, of your listeners hears, maybe one is blessed or uses any of the tools that we've shared here, because we've talked so many different things. But the next guest that comes here, I mean, I really would like to ask the same question. Why? What's your purpose? Okay. What's your purpose in this area? Like, why are you here?
That's cool.
Why are you here?
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's, I like, cool. It. It's, that's similar, cool. But there's a twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. All right.
Why are,
man,
you here?
I like that.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, and actually that should be tomorrow if everything goes well.
Yes.
Yeah, but folks, as we wrap up the episode now, to give a big shout out to Yesenia from Geneva Financial. Yesenia from the NWA.
Yeah.
You know, she took some time to spend with us. And we always want to, you know, honor that and say thank you, you know, from the bottom of my heart.
I agree with Juan Carlos just said, and I think time for me is super valuable. Thank you so much for your time and joining us and giving this time to the listeners and to us. And we appreciate everything. Thank you.
No, yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys so much. And I believe in this podcast and in both of you. I think this is going to be out of the water.
Thank you.
I appreciate
like,
it.
I see it like 3-5 years down the road, this is gonna be big.
So, oh,
very, I'm so
very sweet, yeah.
So proud and honored to be here with you guys. This is amazing.
If that's what ends up happening, man, these stories will be forever.
Yeah,
you know, on forever the podcast. Yeah, forever.
You know what I think of this is, you know, Amazon or Google being in the garage. You know, just starting from home, and then look where they're at now.
Yeah.
This is what I see.
Right, there you go, Juan Carlos.
That's how I feel about
everyone
it.
Everyone right now gets paid in paper clips. Gets paid in paper clips and save them, because they'll be worth whatever they'll be worth in the future. That's too funny. But guys, for our audience, thank you again for tuning in. Thank you, Yesenia. Thank you, Enrique, for being here. You guys, everyone, we will be putting out episodes in the next coming weeks. You know, everyone, have a great day. Be safe. And we'll talk to you all soon.